to the Beat Red Podcast, a podcast where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our embarrassing stories. You tell your embarrassing stories. We tell your embarrassing stories. It is embarrassing all around. We're here to laugh with you, much needed these days. And we're here to cry with you, but in a good way. And we're here to cringe with you and scream cry with you. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Katie.
Let's turn B-Red.
I'm making all these faces in the background.
I'm trying to like keep it fresh.
Your week.
How's your week?
Back to back.
Well,
what are you watching? We can do that. Or you got something?
I'm
you got
not
something
watching anything. Okay. I want to hear what you're watching. Let's hear it. Turn it
okay,
on
I
you.
Started watching. Have you heard of this show? I'm sure I'm going to pronounce it wrong because I pronounce everything wrong. But Pluribus.
No.
P-L-U-R-I-B-U-S.
What
it's
is
on
it?
Apple TV. It is kind of like, it's kind of end of the world vibes, basically. I don't want to give anything away, but I'll just say that.
Okay.
And it's fascinating. It is definitely like a hooks you in immediately. I saw some ad on something that I was scrolling that said it had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes. And I was like, ooh, what is this? I got to go check it out. And it is. It definitely like grips you in, hooks you in. Like, I don't want to give it away. I want you to, to watch it.
But it's on Apple, you said?
It's on Apple.
Okay.
There's been four episodes released so far. So,
I'm about to be able to watch something because my mom's coming to visit and my husband and I always kind of tuck ourselves away in our bedroom when there's a visitor there. Cause like, you know, we give them their space in the house and we have our space in the house, but like we've got our TV in there in our room. So
nice.
We're going to fire it up. So I'll watch Pluribus. Is that how you pronounce it? Pluribus.
Pluribus. Pluribus. I don't know.
Pluribus.
That's how I've been saying it. It's Pluribus. Pluribus.
Pluribus.
I don't know.
Okay.
I honestly don't know. So you're watching nothing.
Watching
what
nothing.
What are you doing? What are you into?
So here's what's going on here. I'm like, nothing. Well, I actually want to catch up with you on Bean Talk. But so what I will say is the thing I can tell you is that, you know, I am still diving deep in my son's school. I went before this, we're doing two podcasts today, before this for 4 hours, I went and helped set up for a Roaring 20s, 1920s benefit that is tonight at the Elks Club in Pasadena. And I'm telling you.
Are you wearing a flapper dress?
I am going to wear a flapper dress. And I was a little nervous about it, but I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do it. I ordered a flapper dress. I'm going to get after it. And I was hanging balloons. I felt like I was back in my catering days. I was like, you know, like flipping, what are they called?
Tablecloths.
Thank you. Flipping tablecloths, throwing some votives on there, making sure the candles were lit, going
nice.
Around, hanging
Look
some streamers.
You.
Oh, I was all about it.
That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work, and there's just no pay. But that's okay. You know what? And I was the only one kind of who volunteered. So I was like, I'm going to go and meet some other parents. Like, this will be good. I'll build a community, blah, blah, blah. And then there was just me.
They're like, no, she's got it. She's doing everything.
It was like she's dead silence the whole time. I'm like, there are ghosts in here for sure. I could feel
they're like,
the spirits.
They're like, sorry, we can't. We're busy. We're so busy. We're all so busy.
They're just like,
sorry.
We're not going to show up and like decorate at 8 in the morning on a Saturday. Bean Talk, Katie, how's it going? Want to check in with
this
you.
This is what, like a true ADHDer, I have already completely abandoned Bean Talk. I've already abandoned my obsession. Raj the other day was laughing so hard. He's like, what happened to the fucking beans? Like, you're already off the beans. I'm like, yeah, fuck the beans. Like, it was
fuck
fine. It was nice. I enjoyed it. I did it for a couple, maybe a week.
Okay, a week. Did you notice a difference in your body? Did you feel good?
I mean, not really, but I really didn't like continue it. And I was also like eating garbage on top of the beans. Like, no. I've been eating so bad since I've been home. I'm going to get back on track.
You look
like,
amazing.
That's very sweet, but
me
I
too.
Just don't, I don't feel good. You know what I mean?
Like, I hear
not
you.
About external. I just don't feel good the way I've been eating. I've been eating very garbage food.
Go
just
easy
sugary,
on yourself,
garbagey
please.
Food. I've been eating my feelings. I've been doing it all, but you know, I'll get back on track. But yeah, Bean Talk.
You're out.
That's me. You know, I get obsessed
Girl,
with something for 5 minutes and then it's the next new
that.
Whatever it is. And, you know,
no.
I enjoyed some of the salads that I made. I enjoyed some of the soups that I made. And I'll probably do it again
on.
At some point. I'll probably do it again at some point.
All right.
But not
well,
today. Not
what,
today.
What's up with you? You doing okay? What's going on? What are you
I'm
what
doing,
are you
doing okay. Yeah. Just working on the house,
yep.
Spending time with family, all the same things, you know?
How's
all
your Thanksgiving?
Things. My Thanksgiving was so much fun.
Good.
We're pre-recording this, so we didn't have our Thanksgiving yet. I'm gonna let you in on the secret that we have going on here. This is a pre-recording, so I'm gonna go ahead and manifest that my turkey is gonna be a sagesse and we'll not drop it on the floor. And it's gonna be a really good time.
Don't drop it on the floor.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, I'm manifesting. It was amazing. We're making two birds. We've got 14 people coming over. We're making two birds.
You're making two birds,
but making one the night before to cut up. So the people could have leftovers. I
love leftovers.
I'm just gonna give everyone leftovers.
Turkey sandwiches.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sammy. So, yeah, it's good.
How do you take your turkey sandwich?
How do I take it? I put it up to my mouth.
What's your ideal turkey sandwich situation?
It's gonna be, so I like the perfect bite after Thanksgiving. So it's gonna be turkey, mashed potatoes, cranberry sauce in between two pieces of bread.
Oh, but you do that? Bread.
Yeah, I do a whole Thanksgiving turkey dinner.
Okay, I feel like my mom would be so into that. I'm like a purist, I guess, with my turkey. I just would like, I like a little white bread toasted with some mayo and salt and pepper, some sliced turkey on there, and some crisp iceberg lettuce.
Whoa.
And sometimes I'll throw a little cheese, sometimes not, but I'm pretty happy with that.
Like, yeah, just it sounds
very
good.
Simple. And I like my little chips with it.
Oh, I thought you said chubs. I was like, what?
Chips. Chubs.
So if that iceberg lettuce ain't crisp,
it's got to be crispy. That sandwich is, wilted. Get out of here. Nope. It's got to be crispy. And yeah, I think just that's what my dad always ate growing up. He gave us that after Thanksgiving meal.
Yum. That's so good.
I learned to love. And I do. I love that.
So good.
Delicious. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, good. All right. Shall we get into this? Shall we get into the story?
Start today?
That's it. I'm starting it. No, wait. Yeah, I start. Okay, I'll start.
You start.
Okay. This is from Sean in Nashville, and he writes, I was dating a guy long distance. He texted me on Instagram, and it had popped off from there. We were soon talking for hours on the phone, and I was over the moon because I live in Alaska, and the pickings are slim in my dating community. He was a musician, had lived in his van for a lot of years, and had such a free spirit. Sometimes when we talked, he said he was in his car, and there was this beeping and then what sounded like a respirator. It happened occasionally, but I didn't pay too much attention to it. We FaceTimed a lot, and his background was full of paintings and a colorful gallery wall, artifacts from his happy ramblings, he called them. I soon planned a visit. My heart was fluttering as a plane touched down in Nashville. He was even more handsome in person, and he held my hand as we walked to his car, talking up a storm.
Wait, he lives in Nashville, and she lives in Alaska? Is that what you said?
And they met on Instagram. Okay. They met on Instagram.
Okay.
He slid into her DMs. Mm-hmm. Talking up a storm, they were walking back to their car when he picked her up. I'd packed light because I was only staying for 2 days. When we got to his car, he opened the door for me like a gentleman. Then he came around and got into his side. Without skipping a beat, he pulled a plugged-in breathalyzer up to his lips and blew into it. It was the kind that gets attached to your car after a DUI. I just stared at him, waiting for an explanation. Instead of offering one, he said, "Fuck," under his breath, and then turned to me and said, "I was nervous this morning and had a little nip of whiskey like 3 hours ago, but I guess it's still registering." I said, "What does that mean?" "Well, it means we can't exactly take off yet. Just got to drink a little bit more water." "And what's happening?" I interrupted. "I got a DUI 4 months ago, and I have to have this thing in here." That was it. He hadn't mentioned any of this before, and he'd also drank this morning and came to pick me up.
Oh, no.
It gets worse. As we were sitting there, he told me he'd lost his job and family because this was his third strike.
Woof.
"You have 3 DUIs," I said. "Yeah." So we sat there awkwardly.
How's he not in jail after 3 DUIs?
Well,
though,
I don't know. What's maybe
Nashville?
What's Nashville?
Is like a less strict state.
Maybe. And then eventually we were able to drive to his place, which was an apartment that he shared with 4 college kids. This guy was in his late 30s.
Oof.
So yeah, we had a good 2 days. But after I got home, I broke up with him because he hadn't disclosed his tumultuous relationship with alcohol. I mean, that's going to do it, right? Like, you got to tell people.
But also, she stayed after finding out all the other stuff. That's rough.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do?
I guess it is awkward, too. You just flew out there.
And you also have to, like, pay money to change your ticket, maybe.
Like, I got
to
go. Bye.
Yeah. And, like, they had talked for hours, too. He was probably just embarrassed. Maybe they, I don't know, talked it out or something. But yeah, I mean, That's so hard.
Maybe he was really hot and she was like, I'll just put up with this for a little bit.
Maybe he was super hot with no shirt on the whole time, with muscles.
And then she was like, I can look past it.
She's like, I can't look past your shoulder muscles. So let's just go back to yours.
All right. My first story comes from Quora, and Anand Raja writes, a well-educated elderly lady with cancer of the larynx, that's your voice box, was admitted for a laryngectomy, that's removal of the voice box. I went over the procedure with her, the potential risks and benefits and outcomes meticulously and in detail. I got the consent form signed and prepped her for surgery. The day of her surgery dawns, and she calls me into her room 10 minutes before being shifted to the operating room and tells me she's decided she's not going to undergo the procedure that day, and she wants it to be postponed for 2 weeks. So they're already at the hospital, right? Like, she's like in the pre-surgery room. I was a first-year surgical oncology resident, and as all of us first-year residents are, I was overworked, undernourished, and sleep-deprived. I could not focus beyond the lost OT time, the list being undone, and the imagined anger of my seniors to an incomplete OT list. I was ticked off, and I told her this is not the time to tell me this. She should have thought of this and told me the previous night how OT time is precious, especially in a busy charitable hospital like ours, and how it could have been used to operate on another patient, and it could have even saved a life, etc.
Damn, he went into it.
There was a small tear in her eye that made me stop my ranting, and she haltingly, almost hesitatingly, told me, sir, I am a grandmother to a four-year-old girl, and I just realized I can never speak to her again. There's a lot that a grandmother needs to tell her grandchild, and I want to record my voice to be given as a message to her on every birthday, one message for every year until she turns 18.
Holy, I'm crying. I was like, oh, I'm crying right now.
I know, like sobbing reading
this. That is so, by the way, great comeback.
Does that not punch you in the gut and make you so embarrassed and ashamed of what you just said?
So hard with her beautiful heart. Oh my God. That's amazing.
I was stunned.
Yeah.
All my harsh words haunting me, piercing my entire being. I realized that day we're treating a disease for sure, but more important is how we treat the patient in whom the disease resides. Yes. That brief moment in time has taught me more about humility, compassion, and empathy than anything I had ever learned. Every time I get angry at a patient, her face dances in front of my eyes. I calm down and make efforts anew. Mrs. X is etched into my memory and forever changed my path.
I love this
story. I thought
that
was so beautiful.
That was so good.
Right? Like an embarrassing moment that changed your life. Again, like we talked about one of those a couple weeks ago too, where like, you know, an embarrassing moment can change your life. Sometimes you need that humility and that shame to be like, oh my God, like, what am I doing? Like, what am I even doing? And it happens often with our kids too, where they'll say something where it's just a gut punch and you're like, oh my God.
I know.
What?
I know. Well, and that's something too, like, that's really important is that you never know what someone else is going through. You never know what their motivation is. And I mean,
It's such a selfless, sweet thing. And she's canceling the surgery. And all you hear is that she's canceling the surgery, you know, and you're like, what the hell? Like, you wasted my time. I got up early. I'm exhausted. Rah, 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 you know, because it affects me. And she's like, I'm never going to talk to my granddaughter again.
We don't even
realize. I'm recording her messages every year.
Every birthday.
It's so sweet and thoughtful. And that she was like, and how hard that must have been for her to stand up and be like, oh shit. Like, I just had this realization. I've got to do this for her. I've got to cancel this. And it's such an inconvenience to her too. She's already there. She's prepped. She's ready.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's such an inconvenience to her too. So. Right.
I love that story. It can change your life.
Isn't that beautiful?
It's beautiful, yeah. And but he's a better doctor to this day because of that. Wow.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo-hoo! ER's got nothing on that story. ER, way to date myself. Okay, here we go. I meant, what's the other one?
Grey's Anatomy is also old now.
Damn. Okay. Let's talk about the Pit.
I don't know.
Let's talk
is
about
there the a pit. New, they're actually, aren't they bringing back Scrubs, I think? I think they're Scrubs with like the same cast, yeah. They're like 100. It's great. We're like the same age. It's fantastic.
That's my age.
I'm like, they're so old. I'm like the same age.
Okay. First, this is from Reddit, and Sitte Girl writes, first date with my now husband. We are both very anxious people who had little experience with dating, and we were both so nervous. I threw up right before the date. He came to pick me up and we drove to the library where we were planning to use their Wi-Fi to watch Netflix in the back of the car.
That's cute. Was he like, you're resting, go brush your teeth?
He's like, you got barf in your chin.
Bitch. You just pooped. You just puked. Just,
we're so terrible. Okay, I was trying to make my story as good as yours and you're like, oh, your breath stinks, bitch. Okay, despite being almost 20 years old, my mom would not let us hang out in my bedroom at home. As soon as we got to the library, he got out of the car and threw up in the parking lot. He was so nervous.
Oh, he threw up too?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's so
they
cute.
Were both nervous that they barfed. Because they were so nervous about the date.
Barf babies.
Sometimes your embarrassing moments can tell you tell the person how much you love them, right?
I mean, that's actually really cute that they both puked. I feel like that's pretty rare.
But, well, she writes, and then I then admitted to him that I had also thrown up right before the date. He tried to play it off as us having the flu or food poisoning, but we both knew it was really just the nerves. Woo!
Aww, that's cute. Did they get married? What happened?
Did they throw up at on their wedding day?
Did they puke together in a mutual on their wedding day?
That they then pulled the rings out of. Too much?
I love it.
Okay.
Yeah, too much. Okay, my next story comes from Cora, and Barbara Clickstein writes, okay, so this was years ago when I was in my late 20s. Before internet dating, you had to join a dating service if you didn't have any luck meeting people the conventional way. You would go, they would videotape you sitting down from the waist up while asking you questions like, what are you looking for? Your perfect date? How tall? Etc. Then you could come back and watch the tapes of people who chose you. If you liked them, they gave you their number and you would set up a date. And I know you've definitely been watching the VHS tapes that are so funny.
I
think those are all
them.
Fake, but they're hilarious.
You think they're
like
fake?
Some are real, but a lot of them are fake and they're so freaking
funny. I can't think they're
funny.
Fake. I feel like they're so vulnerable and like they're real people.
Oh no, a lot of them are definitely fake. Yeah. A lot of them are AI and fake and yeah, but they're also just like fake.
They look like they're from the 80s with the 80s hair.
No, some of them are fake. Some of them are real, but some of them are fake. But anyway, they're so funny. So
God,
this is
me.
What she's talking about for all of the youngins that don't know what she's talking about. I mean, we are definitely not that old that we would have video dated, but we know what it is.
Right, we know what it is.
Okay. This guy liked my video and I liked his. We chatted on the phone a few times and finally decided to go on a date. We met up in a very nice restaurant. He comes in and he's in a wheelchair. The dating service never disclosed this, and neither did he during our numerous phone conversations. I was shocked and totally caught off guard. The first thing he said to me as we sat down was, I can see you're disappointed, so feel free to leave, just like they all do.
Just like they all do?
I know. No. I very nicely explained that I was shocked as no one told me, so I would know what to expect. It wasn't a deal breaker because I liked what he said in the interview. He was drop dead gorgeous and I enjoyed our phone conversations. I just would have preferred to have been aware. That's all. Well, we sit down, ordered drinks, and he was super rude to the server. saying that he should be treated like everyone else and the server wasn't treating him like the other customers. The server was very nice and since we were sitting, he didn't even notice the wheelchair or know what the guy was talking about. Our meal came out and he flipped out, yelling at the server that his food was not cooked properly and just because he's in a wheelchair doesn't mean that they can give him crap to eat.
Get out of here.
My food was excellent and we ordered the same thing. His looked fine to me. He starts making a big scene and everyone in the restaurant turned around and stared at him. He then yells at all the other diners, haven't you ever seen a handicapped person before?
This guy has got to get over this.
I was mortified. I got up and told him enough was enough. I was leaving. Then he started screaming, you're just like all the rest of them, leaving me here because I can't walk.
Okay.
I got up and told him the truth. Yes, the wheelchair was a shock, but it didn't bother me at all. I was leaving because he was mean and a rude asshole.
Yes.
Needless to say, I never used that dating service again, not because of him, but because they never disclosed it to me. If I knew, I still would have gone on the date.
Oh, see, I know. That's the thing. But this guy seems so hung up on it. And like, he just thinks everyone's staring at him because he's in a wheelchair and like he's making a scene. He's making it worse. And that is a scene from a movie.
I know.
I
want to
see someone act that out.
It's such a scene from a movie.
Oh, so good. It's so funny, but it's not funny in the moment.
It's
a great story, though. I do love that. He's like, haven't you seen a handicapped person? They're like, no, we've seen an asshole today, sir.
We're looking because you're yelling at the server. Yeah. We really don't care. You're in a wheelchair.
You're a dick. Okay. So this is from Reddit, and Connery FTW writes, "So this is embarrassing in retrospect. Back in my second year of college, I was pulling an all-nighter at the same time as this very cute girl who I was friends with. We weren't in the same place, but we kept messaging over Facebook or Hangouts or what have you the entire night. It was really nice just talking with her. I'd been single for about 2 months and was just getting over the breakup. When dawn hit and our papers were finally done, she asked me out for a celebratory breakfast. I went looking kind of gross. I absolutely looked like I had just finished an all-nighter. She looked radiant and had clearly put more work into this meeting than I did. As our breakfast went on, we're talking, laughing, and the caffeine is mixing with the satisfaction of completing my work for the semester, and I just feel like I'm in a really good place, and I tell her as much. The sun is starting to fill the windows of the restaurant we're in, and there's this warm light everywhere. She smiles, looks coy, and asks me if I'm over my ex. I smile back, say that I am, and tell her that I'm already thinking of the person who I'd like to ask out next. She smiles even broader and asks me if she knows who it is while touching me on the hand. Still smiling, I say, I don't think so. Her name's Rebecca, and she was in one of my history classes. Distinctly, this was not the girl I was out to breakfast with. The girl I was with looked absolutely devastated, and I had no idea why. I think I said something like, I'm sad the semester's ending soon, but I'll see you in the spring. Thus ended what I would later learn was the first date with the woman who would later become my wife.
Oh, crazy. Guys are so clueless sometimes. Like, they can be such dummies and not get the hint at all.
Do you think you would like that person as much if they did that to you? If you were like, ooh, who's your next? Who are you dreaming of? Who are you going with? And he's like, Rebecca from my history class. Would you just be like?
When I was 20, yes, because you like a challenge.
You want to show this Rebecca up.
Yeah. At that time, I would be like, so you're
telling me there's a chance.
Yeah, at that time.
You're like, at that
okay.
time.
My next story comes from Quora, and Kimber McLaughlin writes, this moment in my life was not only embarrassing in general, but also an example of a very unprofessional and rude teacher of mine. Mm. When I was a junior in high school, my school's French club, which I was a member of since I started high school, went on a trip to tour Italy and France. A wonderful opportunity, but it didn't start out so wonderful. The flight was fine, but when we landed in Milan, I stood up from my seat only to be struck with the realization that the flight was not fine. It was a waterfall. If it had a sound, it would have made a whoosh. Thankfully, it didn't. I got into the airport with my group and got through baggage claim faster than I ever thought possible, only to realize that I forgot to bring tampons and pads, by the way.
God, no.
As soon as I got my suitcase, I ran to my French teacher, Mrs. T, and I told her what happened. She griped and rolled her eyes and told me, "We don't have time for this nonsense." What? I can't help it. I don't have a regular and predictable cycle to depend on. And this is coming in whooshes. I can't wait for the hotel. I asked every single girl in my group if they had any supplies, and I promised Mrs. T I'd be quick. Every girl either didn't bring anything or said they didn't feel like digging through their suitcase for it.
Are you so kidding me, girls? That's so mean. Get it. Get open that damn suitcase.
I don't know if this is really relevant, but the girls didn't like me too much. I'm like, yeah, I think it is, because they didn't want to dig through their bags for this. They were all into fashion and beauty and high heels, and I had boy short hair and cargo shorts. Yeah, they didn't talk to me much. I needed to at least go change, and maybe I could buy a tampon. Maybe I could buy a tampon from one of those machines in the bathroom. Mrs. T pressed that we had to get moving so we could get to the hotel. This woman's compassion
is
so messed up.
Yeah.
I ran to the bathroom. The bathroom had a tampon dispenser that thankfully accepted quarters, two of them, which I didn't have. Also, thank God dispensers were only 50 cents at the time. At my college now, they're $1.50. Ain't nobody got that.
Seriously.
Nobody has $1.50.
No, that'll change.
I had to ask every person in the restroom for 2 quarters until finally I got one from the 4th person and one from the 7th person I asked. Then I had to shove my giant suitcase into the tiny bathroom stall with me. Then I had to open it and dig for new underwear. And pretty much I had to pull everything out. It was like past me wanted my trip to be slightly more of an adrenaline pump challenge. So I sneakily hid my undies in some godforsaken cave in the earth of my belongings. I was ecstatic to finally come across, finally, a pair. Then I had to clean myself up because at this point I'd reddened my inner thighs and decided the summer's newest fashion was red shorts. Are so in. The other girls would have been proud of my sense of fashion. I managed to change into a new pair of shorts in the cramped bathroom stall, overflowing with my suitcase, finally managed to repack everything about 1/8 as organized as before, and I rush out to my group waiting impatiently for me outside the airport, which they didn't even tell me they'd be, so I had to find them from the baggage claim where I last saw them. Ugh. To which my teacher, upon seeing my panicked and embarrassed face approaching in front of the entire group of boys and fashionable girls and her own 9-year-old daughter, says loudly, "We shouldn't have to wait around for you to spend your time picking out your cute new underwear to change into when we have things to do."
I would shove her right off the sidewalk into traffic.
Shove her in front of the bus coming by.
I would.
Needless to say, I never considered this particular teacher very inspiring.
No, that there are terrible teachers out there.
Isn't that so mean? She has a 9-year-old daughter. Like, you're a woman. You've been through this. Your daughter's going to go through this. Like, have some compassion. This poor girl is so embarrassed. She's in high school. And she freaking says, "We don't have time for you to look for your cute underwear to change into in front of everyone." It's
also, why? That's a little creepy. Like, why are you calling her underwear cute? What are you doing?
I know.
You're weird. Yeah. Also, everyone packs their underwear deep down in their suitcase. That's the first thing you put in there next to your, like, well, your shoes and then a couple, like a sweater and then your undies. Right? Because you're going to get, you know, you're going to unpack and then you're going to, you know, it's like, she did a great job packing is what I'm trying to say.
She did her best.
she didn't expect
to have to, like, be cramped in a bathroom stall rifling through a bag, which is the worst.
I just
hate
it.
What bitches those girls too? Like, yeah, I don't feel like looking for us. Sorry.
That so their mean. Souls are dark. I know. Seriously. Oh gosh. Hopefully karma comes back to bite them in their periods.
I would give a stranger a tampon. I can't believe these girls.
I would too. Rude. I would jump Rude. Down and like jump down.
I'd be like, "What do you need? I can help you."
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I know. Ugh. All right, well, my last story comes from Silver Scallion 1127 from Reddit, and it's a feel-good story. So, in summer of 2021, with strict travel rules, I didn't realize we had to take a COVID test from Mexico going back to the U.S. So I took one in the airport, and it takes them half an hour to get the results back. My flight leaves in about 45 minutes, and I would have to go back in line for the airline front desk. Line was getting longer. Panicking, I waited around the lab to at least see if they can do something about giving me the results earlier, but they basically said I can't do that. So I went up to an airline employee to explain the situation. She told me I can always ask to cut ahead in line anywhere in the airport if someone is willing to let me. As soon as I got my test result, after a perfect 30 minutes, I asked to cut ahead a really long line and they let me. Front desk was hesitant but whispered to me, "You should run."
Oh, no.
Got to TSA, right? Got to TSA.
That's the last thing you want to hear in an airport. Yeah, like that gives me so much anxiety. Like, I hate airports anyway. Like, all like the rushing is so stressful. Like, it's all stressful.
It is. It is. And she's like,
"So I don't want to hear a TSA agent say, you should run. Like,
you should run."
That's like a horror movie.
It is. You're like, okay, I'm doing it.
You better run.
You better run. Got to TSA and they let me cut, but was stopped for something suspicious in my bag. I told them right away, "Please, just confiscate it if this will take a while. My flight is leaving." And apparently that was the wrong thing to say. So they pulled me aside and asked me questions. Thinking of it now, it kind of does sound suspicious if I wanted to leave behind a bomb. Female TSA busted out laughing and said, "Es tamales." It was a tamale. To whoever was interrogating me. They chuckled a little and probably felt bad and let me go. I ran literally the whole time. Of course, the gate is at the tip of the airport on the opposite side, and I had like 5 minutes left until takeoff. The gate agent saw me from far away, ran to me, asked me for my name, and I said, "Yes, yes, that's me." We were then basically running together. He checked my passport and boarding pass, checked it off, and let me through. Literally right when I walked in, I heard the door close.
Wow.
Flight attendants then saw me come in and started clapping, and then boarders started clapping everywhere as well.
That's awesome.
Isn't that a good story?
That's a good tale. I love that they made it. That's the worst when you fight that hard and you don't make it. It's horrible.
I know. It's awful.
I have missed some flights in my day. Okay.
Dude,
my last story comes from Quora, and Curtis Barter writes, it was freshman year. It was my second day on campus, and I decided to hit the gym early in the morning before class. My dad offered to buy me a membership because of my size. I was scrawny and new to the gym, but I was open to new things. I walked up to the front desk to be greeted by a guy twice my size. Jeez, I thought, does that guy live here? Hey, bud, first time here? He asked. Was it really that obvious? As I handed him my membership card with my shaking hand, I muttered, yep. He proceeded to give me a quick rundown of the rules, but I didn't take in one damn word of what he said. My attention was totally fixated on this fit blonde girl on the treadmill. I recognized her from a party the night before. She was wearing tight black leggings and a neon yellow sports bra that accentuated her tan skin she'd clearly been working on all summer. Got okay. it? The front desk worker asked as I faded back from dreamland. Yeah, I got it, I said dismissively. Oh, no. All right, man, have a solid workout, he said. Then I proceeded through the large glass doors to the gym. With my heart pounding so hard it could jump through my chest, I walked towards the only piece of equipment I knew how to use, the easy curl bar. Stay cool, man, I thought to myself. Just shoot her a smile as you walk by.
Nice.
Past the good-looking blonde girl, I gave her probably the most awkward smile you could give a girl. But like some kind of miracle, she smiled back. Oh my God, I thought. Should I talk to her? I wonder what her name is. What should we name our kids? A million thoughts raced through my mind as I picked up the easy curl bar. Not noticing there were no clips holding the plates in place.
Oh no.
I picked up the bar, turned, and as I did, the weights on one side slowly slid off. Before I had time to react, the 25-pound plate slid off, bounced on the rubber floor, and smashed into one of the enormous mirrors surrounding the gym.
Oh, God. What?
Like a domino effect, the entire mirror shattered and fell to the floor. Red as a tomato and wide-eyed, I turned to look at the blonde girl who possessed the same shocked expression as me. We gazed at each other for a few seconds, then burst into hysterical laughter. This was hands down one of, if not the most embarrassing moment I've ever had.
Okay, that is so funny.
Isn't that funny?
That's so cute. I mean, it's
He's
terrible,
like, stay cool. But... Stay cool, man. Give her a cool smile. Hey. And then He's like, oh, easy crew. Want to see me lose some weight? Freaking.
Then he smashes the gym everywhere. And he had to leave probably. I mean, you're not going
to
do
it. Did you have to pay for it? What happened?
Yeah. What did she go out with you? Did you have kids? What happened? You know? That's wild.
Inquiring minds need to know.
You got to write us back.
Let us know.
That was
our
show.
We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beat red, you can email us at beatredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us that coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in the show notes. If you can't beat them,
join them. See you next week.